Not many of us would like to meet a wild lion of the forest in the flesh. Not many of us want to stand against the spiritual power of him who is like that ferocious beast. But we have no choice. The devil will come against us. Let us learn not to fear, but to fight. Not to surrender, but to succeed. Not to be a victim, but to be a victor through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 reads, "Wherefore, take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now that verse of Scripture has an encouraging message. Think about it. First, it assures us that we can each put on and wear the spiritual armor God provides in Jesus Christ. Second, it certifies that we can each wear the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, shoes of peace, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit. Third, it convinces us that we will be able to stand if we put on the armor God provides, able to stand in the evil day. Fourth, it promises we will stand through all the battle and still be standing when we have overcome all our foes. And fifth, it guarantees that as we stood before the battle, during the battle, and are standing at the end of the battle, we will stand forever in the strength God provides His dear children. Yes, this is a very precious verse of Scripture. Let us think about how to maintain the power of God in our lives. How do we continue to experience God's power in spiritual victory day after day and year after year? We maintain that power by standing for God. The key word is stand. Stand without disappointment when you must combat your spiritual enemy. The Christian life is not a boring existence with no challenge or problem. It is a contest against the forces of evil. It is a battle which calls us to victory in Jesus Christ. The great apostle Peter wrote, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the trial, the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." The opposition of the devil to the people of God is a well-recognized fact in the Bible. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." But then He comforted our hearts by adding, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Do not waste your time wondering why there is a spiritual conflict. Give yourself to God to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ in the conflict, and stand therefore. Second, stand without fear that you might be overcome. Now the devil is a terrible enemy, it is true. He is described in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 as a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. Not many of us would like to meet a wild lion of the forest in the flesh. Not many of us want to stand against the spiritual power of him who is like that ferocious beast. But we have no choice. The devil will come against us. Let us learn not to fear, but to fight. Not to surrender, but to succeed. Not to be a victim, but to be a victor through Jesus Christ. How do we overcome the devil? Well, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 and 10 reads, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Two things are involved here. One, submit. Two, resist. Submit to God, resist the devil. Now the two must come in that order. Submission must be made to God before the devil can be resisted successfully. But when one is submitted, humble before God, the devil can never overcome him. After Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour, he adds, "whom resist steadfast in the faith." See, he promises that when the battle is over, God will strengthen and establish the one who stood courageously against the adversary. Have no fear that you might be overcome by the enemy. and stand therefore. Third, stand with no half-hearted interest, but with a fervent and committed spirit. Make your commitment to God total and unchanging. Follow the principle and receive the blessings mentioned in Psalm 97:10, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Let no appeal of this depraved society in which we live turn your devotion from the Lord. Be warned that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Confession of faith in Christ is not enough. Works are necessary also. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. John wrote, "Hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." It is by our works that our faith is shown before men as true and valid confidence and commitment to God. Half-heartedness in spiritual matters is repulsive to God. Jesus said to a lukewarm church, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." So stir up the fires of devotion in your heart. Fall in love with Jesus all over again. Do not be slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Number four, stand with no thought of retreat. Someone has pointed out that the parts of the Christian armor lists nothing for the back, and that has been interpreted to mean we're never to turn our backs as if to flee from the devil. We keep facing him, advancing against his kingdom, defeating him in the Lord. It is tragic when we read in the Bible of a Christian brother named Demas. Paul wrote of him, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." It is a sad thing to read of Christians who were associated with Paul when he appeared before Caesar to present his defense. Paul wrote of them, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge." How much better it is to be in the company spoken of in Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Jesus gave great promises to those who are faithful to death, and I want to be a member of that blessed company. Don't you? Fifth, stand with no element of carelessness, but with full diligence. The Bible admonishes us, be diligent, be sober. It means to be calm, watchful, exercising self-control. The New English Bible translates it, awake, be on the alert. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is your challenge to exercise yourself in the power of God through practical daily living. Stand with God before the battle starts. Stand for God as the battle rages. Stand in God when the battle ends. So stand with God for all your life, being faithful to death, and you will know the joy of his approval. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that will be payment sufficient for what it has cost. Father, we resolve to stand. We will stand against temptation to evil. We will stand without compromise of doctrine. We will stand without yielding the field to the foe, however hot the battle rages. We will stand because we love you, and because you command us to stand. We claim by faith your enabling power, which empowers us so that we can stand without falling, in Jesus' name. Amen.